KLC, the go-to place for New York Islanders hockey talk.
Welcome aboard the Isle Seat Podcast. Mike Carver here with you as the Islanders get a big 8-2 win over the Detroit Red Wings on Tuesday night. That, of course, was after a loss Monday night at the Garden in the first of three games with the Rangers that are taking place over the next week. A tough loss there as they got a burn-the-tape game there against the Rangers. Our good buddy Jay Berman stops by as well. He's going to sit down and chat for a few minutes, too. So a lot to do. Let's get rolling here. As always, you can listen to the show on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, TuneIn, and at the homepage at isleseat.com. Please, as always, support the sponsors, Oakwood Automation, Bright Building Services, Santorini Restaurant, the Main Street Board Game Cafe, and Accurate Precast Corporation. They take care of us. Please take care of them. Get your Isle Seat Podcast t-shirts at yesmenoutfitters.com. Devin has that and a lot more. He's got a couple of new hats that he just put out last week that are absolutely outstanding. So please go check out yesmenoutfitters.com. So let's get rolling here. The Islanders, of course, an 8-2 win on Tuesday night over the Red Wings at the Coliseum. And look, this one was a good one to see, obviously. Whenever you score 8 goals, it's great. But the Islanders haven't had a rocking chair game in a long time. You know, it's been a long time since the Islanders, you know, you ended the first period and you said, all right, you know what, this one's over. We can kind of coast from here. And we know the Red Wings stink. They're an awful hockey team. They're the worst team in the NHL. But it's nice to see the Islanders actually take a beating out on somebody who really stinks, because a lot of bad hockey teams have come into the Nassau Coliseum, especially over the last, you know, 6 to 8 weeks, and the Islanders have had a struggle with those teams. So to see the Red Wings come in on Tuesday night, you're coming off an embarrassing performance against your crosstown rival on Monday. To see the Islanders put a pasting on the Detroit Red Wings was good. And the main thing that I take out of it is, it's not just that they had a rocking chair game and they beat up on a team that they should beat up on. And what you really like about this one, of course, the fact that they went 8-2, it's that who scored the 8 goals. See, that for me is the big takeaway from a 8-2 beatdown of the Red Wings on Tuesday night, because there's a lot of guys that scored that have been very absent from the score sheet during this whole kind of 500 plugging away that the New York Islanders have been doing since the 17-game point streak. And to see Josh Bailey get on the board, to see Anthony Beauvillier get a goal, you know, first goal of the year for Leo Komarov, Noah Dobson gets his first career NHL goal, Anders Lee, and he's had some things going now, too, here over the last week. He, of course, had the winners against Colorado and the Devils, gets a goal now in this blowout against the Red Wings. Brock Nelson has 2 goals to take over the lead. But it's Bailey, and let's not forget Eberle, too, because Eberle's in that same mix as well. So Eberle gets a goal. He has now scored a bunch of goals here in the last 3 or 4 games. So maybe, just maybe, that's the kind of night that can kind of break the dam a little bit here for what has been a very tough go in terms of finding scoring. Eberle can get going. Maybe Josh Bailey gets going. Anthony Beauvillier, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that's the one thing you look at and you go, yeah, were they playing an awful team? They sure were. But there's some good things to take out of it, scoring 4 goals in the first period. Thomas Greiss did what he had to do. That first one that Greiser let in, geez, Thomas, I know it's 3-0, but man, that was a tough one. I guess he was screened a little bit, but that was just a flat-out whiff. I mean, what the fuck that the guy on Detroit who scored, he threw it at the net, and just a flat-out whiff by Greiss. But hey, it's hard to find things that go wrong when you win 8-2. And the Islanders will take that, and they will get ready for what is going to be a very, very interesting and tough final 4 games into the All-Star break. And the All-Star break, as we know, it's a very condensed, you get the break, and then you've got the days off after the break. So the Islanders aren't going to play for 10 days. A lot of rest for a lot of guys, which is a good thing. Helped them out last year. Although last year, if you remember, they went into that break red hot. And they came out of that break a little sluggish, but then played some better hockey. So Islanders are going to get 10 days off. But the 4 games going into this 10 days off are super intriguing, very interesting. And I know immediately the eyes are going to completely go to these 2 Ranger games coming up, because the Islanders took a beating. 6-2 Monday night at Madison Square Garden. They score 18 seconds into the game, whatever it was. That does not matter. They got absolutely bombarded after that. A couple of fights early on. Things just did not go well. It didn't help the fact that you had to see the guy that you tried to give $13.5 million to have a five-point night. Not fun at all. And let's be fair, if they're playing anybody else that night, we simply say burn the tape and we move on to the next one. But it holds a little bit more meaning because it's the Rangers. I get it. It is what it is. I know that a lot of people got crazy after the game. I get it. You don't want to lose to the Rangers. You especially don't want to lose to the Rangers like that. But you got to just move on to the next one. And thankfully, the Islanders went and did that and put a pounding on the Detroit Red Wings. So now, another Ranger game, Thursday night. First Islander-Ranger game on Long Island in five-plus years, whatever it is. They've been obviously Barclays Center. Last year's games, despite the split, the Ranger games were at the Barclays Center. So I'm very interested in seeing the crowd on Thursday night. I'll be there. Come say hi. I'll be at probably hanging at the Orange Yes Men Outfitter tent for a couple hours before the game. So come say hi before Islanders-Rangers on Thursday night. But I am very interested in seeing the feel in the building, because a lot of us know what it has been at times in the past. It's a different time right now. The Islanders are the better team. I know it didn't quite look at times on Monday night, but the Islanders are the better team. And I'm interested to see the buzz in the building, the feel, all that, because, of course, there will be a few Ranger fans in there, and it is what it is. And you know, there's two sides to them playing three times in 8 days. We've kind of talked about it a lot in the last few weeks, how I personally do not like it. I prefer that these games get spaced out a little bit. There's such games that you mark on the calendar when the schedule first comes out. To see three of the four of them in such a short period, just like last year. The same thing happened last year. You know, they played the three games in November and early in the season, and then they played one more time after that later down the road. So I don't like the 3 and 8 days. Is it a chance for it to have a little more fireworks because you had the couple of fights early in the game? And by the way, you talk about the NHL, you know, just get rid of the fighting. Do I believe that it has a place in the game? I do. I'm not one of these guys who says get rid of fighting because I don't want to see guys fighting on the ice. I think fighting has a place in National Hockey League. But the dopey rules, just get rid of it at this point. You got guys who throw hands like Matt Martin who don't even know that if you fight before the puck drops, you get a misconduct. They change these rules. Just enough with it. Just, you guys don't want fighting in the league. Just take it out, all right? Instead of having these dopey rules, you know, you got Matt Martin fighting Smith there, and that's a horrible trade-off for the Islanders. A horrible trade-off that was. Look, they lost 6-2. Is it because they didn't have Matt Martin for 55 minutes of the game? No, it's not. But still, the dopey rules, just enough with it. You don't want to have fighting, don't have fighting. Just get rid of it. Tell guys they can't fight. You can have a dumb rule like that. It is what it is. But they don't want the fighting in the game, and that's why they have that game as conduct rule if you fight before the puck gets dropped. So, whatever. Maddie didn't know it, and Maddie fights. You know, Maddie's a tough guy in the league, and he didn't know the rule. It is what it is. A sidebar. Sorry to sidebar on the fighting there, but you've got the fighting. You've got the 6-2 loss. All that stuff's going to build up. The fans are going to be into it. It's a big night, as always, when the Islanders play the Rangers. I just wish it wasn't three times in 8 days. And you're going to look at this, and you're going to look at these four games, and people are going to automatically drift their eyes to Rangers-Islanders twice in the next week. But let's keep our eyes on the prize here. The two bigger games going into this break are this weekend, when the Washington Capitals come to the Nassau Coliseum on Saturday, and when the Islanders play their only road game, true road game, where they have to get on an airplane for an entire month. It is this Sunday when they have to go to Carolina and play a team that, you know, they're going on now five times in a row has absolutely whacked them. Okay, the four games in the playoffs last year, and then the game first week of the season before the Islanders went on the 17-game tear. The last game they lost before that 17-game tear was in that Friday night game in Carolina where they got pasted by the Hurricanes. So the Islanders have had a very hard time with Carolina, and they will renew acquaintances on Sunday late afternoon. And, man, the NHL, just, guys, these guys just can't figure it out either. I'll sidebar again here for 30 seconds. My apologies. I know that not everybody's a football fan. I understand it. I just can't figure it out, guys. I mean, they're playing the AFC and NFC championship games on Sunday at 3 and 6:40. Why you're having a National Hockey League game at 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock at night, I can't figure it out. You know, that's a day where you can actually play at a dumb 1 o'clock game. Play it that day. Not everybody's locked in on the NFL. I understand. It is what it is. So, but you got Islanders Hurricanes on Sunday. I'll have a couple of TVs set up, so I got to watch the football too. And I'll have the Islanders going as well down in Carolina on Sunday. But the two games this weekend, those are the games you want to see the Islanders perform at a high level going into the break. I know we get starry-eyed about the Ranger games. I get it. But eyes on the prize, the Capital and the Hurricane game are what's important. But you could take it a step further. Mike, calm down here. What do you mean? Every game is important right now. Every game. And why? Because as we know, nobody in this freaking division loses ever. I mean, the Penguins just get Crosby back. I mean, they weren't losing even before he came back. And they go and they paced the Wild the other night. Nobody loses in this division. Columbus goes out west. They win everywhere. Winning in Vegas, winning here, winning there. It's just so impossible right now with what goes on in the Metro that every single game is so important and means a lot. So these four games heading into the break, you want to see the Islanders get strong here. Now, we talked about the stretch of a month with one true road game. It started last Monday, the 6th, against Colorado, where they are going to play 11 out of 12 in the New York City metropolitan area. Only one true road game, and that is, of course, this Sunday in Carolina. So far on that stretch, they are 3-1-1. Very good. Go another 3-1-1 and make it 6-2-2. That's what the Islanders need to do right now. They need to stack right now. Get back to stacking like they did early in the year. Because there's been too much of the win two, lose one, lose two, everybody goes nuts, win two, everybody gets back on board, lose one, win one, lose two, everybody freaks out, win two, everybody's okay again. There's been too much back and forth. There's been too much 500 hockey. There's been too much jumping off, jumping back on. There's been a lot of that over the last 6 weeks, and some of it deservedly so. But now what you want to see from the Islanders here as we get ready for an all-star break that starts next Wednesday is you want to see the Islanders come in and finish this strong. Win three out of these four games. I don't care which ones they are. If the Rangers win one of these two games, are their fans going to get mouthy? Of course they are. We beat you 2 out of 3, blah, shut up. If the Islanders win the Hurricane and the Capital games and they only win one of the two Ranger games, live with it. All right? You live with it because every game is important. I know that everybody gets excited and crazy about the Ranger games. It's okay. Win three of these four games, go into the break feeling strong, put some more pucks in the net, you're going to feel just fine. You're not going to be worried about the peasant Rangers who are going to be, 10 points out of a playoff spot. Don't worry about it. I know that their fans are mouthy. I know that as Islander fans, you got to deal with the Ranger fan, especially when they win a couple of hockey games. The three biggest games on their schedule are going to be this year. So it is what it is. It's okay. Win the other games. Win those games. Just win three of these four games. Go in strong. You win three of these four games, get yourself a little, 6-2-1 in this stretch going into the All-Star break. That's stabilizing. I know the injuries have been tough. I know at times the scoring has been tough. I'll still top five in the NHL in points. They're still sitting there in fifth. It's crazy to think about, but go look at it. It's true. Eyes on the prize, some big games this weekend. Isles need to take care of business here. And right now, of course, we bring in our friend Jay Berman, CBS Sports Radio. Always good to have Jay around. Jay, how are you, pal?
Hello, Mike.
Good to be back. Good to have you here.
It's great to be
back. It's
been
a while. As we kind of speed into the All-Star break here, Islanders are going to have a lot of time off. I think it's 11 or 12 days, whatever the situation's going to be. And they've got four very big games on the calendar here before they get there. You got a couple more Ranger games. And even, I know that the Ranger games, as I kind of talked about in the beginning of the show, the Ranger games are, they're highlighted events. They're the big events on the calendar. Everybody gets excited about them and gets crazy because they're around the Ranger games. But, Jay, you got to peel the covers back a little bit here. The Capitals and the Hurricanes this weekend on a back-to-back.
Yeah.
That, Jay, for me, is in these last four games before the break, the more crucial of the four games on the schedule.
Well, first of all, it's ridiculous that they hadn't played the Rangers yet. Now they're playing them three times in 8 days or whatever. It's also ridiculous they Rangers and Islanders haven't played at the Coliseum in 5 years, which is amazing. But at the same time, for some reason, the fans get all worked up about the Ranger games. You know,
well,
that's,
you know,
the way it's going to be.
And you get it. I mean, look, I understand.
Especially after a 6-2 ass kicking.
Well, that's the thing. And I said this last week. It's a different side now, a different side of the coin if you're an Islander fan. Because for a long time, all those Ranger runs, they were going deep in the playoffs every year. They were better than the Islanders. But the Islanders kind of had their number in all those years. Islanders played them tough, played them better, et cetera, et cetera. Now the Islanders are the team that's kind of in the no-win situation when they play the Rangers because, as we know, it's the Rangers. It is what it is. But the Islanders are the better team right now,
yep,
and their fans will get very mouthy, especially if they take another one or two of these games.
Not will, have been getting mouthy.
Oh, they've already.
Mouthy.
I know. The Rangers, they've already gotten mouthy.
It's pretty frustrating. Yeah, the Islanders have dominated the Rangers. I mean, something like 15 out of the last 20 before a couple of nights ago, something close
right
to that. So, the Islanders are better than the Rangers. They should beat them. But when you put yourself in a position where you think you must win, that's when things get dicey. And let's not forget, it's not an excuse, it's a fact. Islanders are dealing with injuries. Three key guys missing in Pelech, Clutterbuck, and Cizikas the last couple of games. Obviously, he's going to come back soon.
Hopefully, he comes back Thursday night.
Yeah.
Because it's hard because that line, Jay... That line is so important to what the Islanders do. They're an energy line. They start games. They play the same minutes as a top, you know, two line would. And they have not had that full line for really just a handful of games this year because Cizikas missed a couple games at the beginning of the year. Martin was then out for a couple weeks.
Then
and now Clutterbuck's been
hurt.
Out for a few weeks. Cizikas as well. He should be back hopefully Thursday, but... You know, it's been hard because they haven't been able to get those three guys together on the ice at the same time.
No, it's amazing. They really haven't played. I don't know what the numbers are, but they have not been a complete unit.
But Cizikas drives the bus more than
of
anybody
course.
Because you can handle Martin or Clutterbuck, to me, being out of the lineup for a couple games, and you could plug in a Kunackel or a Komarov, or you could do something like that. Cizikas, Jay, to me,
he's the glue.
Is so important. Not just what he does penalty kill. He's their best penalty killer, without question.
By a lot.
He's so much energy. He has a knack for a couple big goals. Cizikas, for me, Jay, is such a huge part of this team.
It's a killer sickness or bug or something's going on. I don't know. I mean, it's typical hockey, especially with Trotz. You're never going to know. The only time we ever find out is when Clutterbuck sliced the wrist
right.
and Pelech hurt the leg.
Which is hockey.
Right.
Yeah. Well, he's got the ace. Yeah.
Whatever it is. These guys are gone for extended
lower
periods
body,
of time. Lower body.
Yes.
Right.
As we know, happened probably in the bowels of the Nassau Coliseum.
Yeah, probably somewhere there. I'll say this. You know, I hate to harp on the Ranger thing, but the Ranger fans don't like hearing that the Islanders have injuries, especially after the Rangers beat the Islanders. But to me, it's been glaring over the last, I'd say, week, especially with Cizikas out. The injuries are killing them.
Yeah, absolutely. And it comes to light more with Cizikas. The Pelech thing, it is what it is. I mean, he's not coming back. So that's a spot where, let's talk Dobson really fast. You know, he's the guy who's been kind of thrown into it here. He gets a goal in the Detroit game, a bit of a fluky goal, but it's his first NHL goal. And you see him getting more and more comfortable the more he plays. And for me, Jay, if Barry's running him out there, I got the confidence. Because you know that if Barry didn't have the confidence in him, he wouldn't put him out there.
He's 20, though, and he just turned 20.
Right. It is what it is, Jay. Some guys acclimate faster than others. Some
that's
guys
true.
Need a few years. Some guys need a few months. It is what it is.
I agree. But that's a lot, especially as we go down the stretch. He's probably never played this many games in this kind of stretch here.
But he did sit a lot in the first couple months.
He did, but it's also January. We could be playing until June, hopefully.
Well, you never know.
You never know. Right. So, I mean, if we have to rely on Noah Dobson to anchor the defense, things could get scary.
We've seen kind of two different stretches of Islander hockey now here this year, Jay, as we hit the All-Star break. We had the beginning of the year, the 17-game point streak, the 15-0-2, the team that just found ways, and they're scoring three goals almost every night during that stretch. And now the last 6 weeks, you've had a bit of a situation where it's
the 500 hockey team.
They win two, they lose two. They win a game, they lose a game. They win a couple, they lose a couple. Some nights they're scoring. It's glaring the problems on the nights that they lose, that they don't score. Are they more towards the team that was the 17-game point streak at the beginning of the year, or are they more towards this, what seemed like a 500 middling team for the last 6-plus weeks?
Mike, you did not bring me on here to tell you that I don't know the answer to the question, but I don't know. I really don't know. But it almost doesn't matter because they're 15 games above 500.
It's kind of shocking to me, Jay, that when I look at the standings today, even though they've been 500 for weeks and weeks, and now this helps when you have a 17-game point streak, they're still fifth in the NHL in points, which is just a crazy thing.
They're in the wrong division.
They're in the wrong division because three of the top five teams in the NHL all play in the Metro, four of the top eight if you want to extend to Carolina as well. Jay, it is kind of odd that you sit here and you know that the teams had injuries and you know that the teams had problems. They're still 60 points. They're right in the mix. Like, they're right in the top five, Jay.
Yeah, with 3 months to go. There's still plenty of time. I would
Is
say...
a good thing or a bad thing with 3 months
right,
to go?
I would say, to answer your question, just because you asked the question, I would say it's probably somewhere in between. Are they a 15-0-2 stretch type team again? No, but no team is.
You don't see that.
Are they a 500 team? They're clearly better than a 500 team. So somewhere in between. But again, they've made the playoffs. They've made the playoffs because they had a 15-0-2 stretch. If they play 500 the rest of the way, that's 15 games over 500. That's a playoff team.
Yeah, and you know what it is, Jay? Last year was right after the All-Star break is when they kind of got going a little bit. They started playing some of their better hockey.
Yep. They bought in.
Look, they've got a stretch in March, which is just brutal. It's a ton of road games every other night. The schedule really tightens up. They're going to come out of this break with a bunch of home games against Western Conference teams. That seems to be a problem this year so far.
Yeah, I mean, seriously.
I mean, they've got the Kings and Vancouver and teams like that coming in out of the break. Jay, they got a stack. You know what they need, Jay? They need to get out of this little win two lose two win one lose type of rut here.
Yeah,
coming out of this break, they need to pad themselves a little 4 out of 5, a little 5 out of 6. They need a little stretch.
I agree. I would say Tuesday night was hopefully the beginning. I think that's exactly what they needed. If they struggled with Detroit, we'd all be down. But they smoked Detroit like they should. Now look, 8 goals is fluky. No
right.
team averages
but
8 goals.
The good thing about the 8 goals is, Jay, it was a lot of guys that had been cold and had not been scoring. Bailey had a long drought. Bevilier had a long drought. And you had guys that had not scored in weeks that lit the lamp, so maybe that can get them going.
I don't know what year it was, but I want to say it's close to 30 or 40 years. The last time a team scored 8 goals and a player did not have more than 2 points in an 8-goal performance.
Is that right?
That's correct.
How about that?
Yeah. Well, so that's, I mean, but that's spreading it around. That's exactly what you want.
Right.
You don't want, 4 goals and 3 assists from one guy.
As you look to, of course, Coliseum Thursday night, Rangers' first time back. You alluded to it earlier. Did it hurt you a little bit watching the guy that, the Islanders tried so hard for last summer, the piece that they need so badly, drop a little 5-point night on the Islanders on Tuesday?
You want to know what's
funny?
On
Monday night, it was very tough to swallow there that night.
I'll tell you what's more annoying to me, because Panarin went where the money was, okay? And the Islanders were never going to outbid the Rangers. But I'll say this. I'm more frustrated with Ryan Strome, a 50-point guy.
But he's playing with Panarin.
Hey.
So, and look,
it's the Matt Molson disease.
Matt Molson disease, I get it. Jay, what do you think? 4 games here, 2 Ranger, Capital, Hurricane. What do you want to see?
8 points, give me 5.
5 out of 8 going into the break.
Correct.
Which is just about like on their 500 pace that they've been doing.
Don't get smoked.
You don't care who it's against.
No.
They're all
Eastern Conference teams anyway.
I think, obviously, as I said, the Cap and the Hurricane games are, to me, of paramount.
They're huge.
Because everybody's so tight up there at the top of the Metro.
Agreed.
Jay, it's good to see you.
Thank you, Mike.
We'll talk to you again in a couple weeks, okay?
Bye-bye now.
My thanks to Jay Berman right there. Always appreciate him spending a few minutes with us. We've got a little bit more to do. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. The Aisle Seat Podcast rolls on right after this. The Aisle Seat Podcast is brought to you by Oakwood Automation. If you are looking to leverage modern technology to control your home or business, Oakwood Automation Systems has you covered. Put control over your alarm system, surveillance cameras, home theater, indoor and outdoor audio, and so much more in the palm of your hand. For more information, go to oakwoodautomation.com or find us on House and Facebook by searching Oakwood Automation. Bright Building Services. Bright Building Services is a full-service commercial cleaning company serving businesses throughout the New York metro area for over 22 years. With clients spanning all sectors from boutique fitness and corporate headquarters, to laboratories and medical facilities. Contact them for all of your commercial cleaning needs. For more information, please visit brightbuildingservicesny.com or check them out on Instagram or Facebook at Bright Building Services. That's Bright, spelled B-R-I-T-E. Santorini Restaurant. Santorini is family-owned and operated for over 20 years and offers a variety of the best gyros, salads, and signature Greek dishes sure to please. Located at 133 Merrick Avenue in Merrick, New York, Santorini Restaurant, it's all about family. The Main Street Board Game Cafe in Huntington Village on Long Island's North Shore. Unplug your game. They have a huge selection of hobby and family strategy board games for sale, from old favorites to the newest releases. A library of over 400 board games for open play every day. A board game and RPG after school program for grades 1 through 12. They do Magic the Gathering, Pokemon, Yu-Gi-Oh, Warhammer, and Dungeons & Dragons events and tournaments, birthday parties and corporate events. Come in for food and drink, coffee and desserts, beer and wine, and of course, fun and friends. The Main Street Board Game Cafe at 307 Main Street in Huntington Village. Go to MainStreetBoardGameCafe.com for more information. Main Street Board Game Cafe, unplug your game. Accurate Precast Corporation is a family-run business, and they've been getting it done for over 20 years. Accurate designs and manufactures custom concrete building materials for commercial and residential applications throughout the entire tri-state area. Architectural cast stone, bands, cornice, lintels, entry and window details, ornamentals, sills, trim, custom designs. They do it all at Accurate. Accurate's production facility is located at 1957 Pitkin Avenue in Brooklyn. Stop by or call them today at 718-345-2910. Check out all their work right now and follow them at Accurate Precast Corp. on Instagram.
Matt Barzell, and you're listening to the Aisle Seat Podcast.
And we're back, the Aisle Seat Podcast. Mike Carver here with you. My thanks again to Jay Berman. Always fun to have Jay hanging around. A couple more things before we get out of here. Otto Koivula did get into the lineup on Tuesday night. We did not mention that before. Obviously in there because Zekas did not play. Will we see more of him? If Casey's still out, I guess you're going to see him. But, I didn't think he played bad on Tuesday. But then again, who did? They won 8-2. So it was pretty noticeable that he was in there and doing a good job. You need Casey back in there on Thursday. So let's hope that Zekas is healthy, ready to go. You need him back in the lineup. And as we know, scoring's a problem here right now. And it was nice to see guys get off of the deck on Tuesday. And it's hard because this is just such a topic that everybody is so exhausted with because it's been going on for so long. But, you just have to wonder to yourself when you sit there just how much longer can they go with these guys? You know, how much longer can you roll with what you have? You know, it's just how much longer can you roll before you maybe give Bellows a crack? Or how much do you roll before you finally do make that trade? I just don't, like I said a billion times, and we'll say it weekly here on the Aisle Seat Podcast, until I see it, I just don't know if it's going to happen. It is what it is. I think you have to operate in the sense that there's nothing coming around the corner, which is hard. I think what's going to force the hand, maybe, and it's something that you don't want to see because you haven't seen it yet, I think what would force the hand is if they went in one of those 3-4-5-game spurts where they just don't score and they lose, 4 out of 6 or 5 out of 6 or, something like that. I think it might take a stretch like that for something to finally happen, because they don't get in stretches like that, as we know. And if they got into one like that, maybe it would force the hands of Lou a little bit more. Maybe. But I think that every time that they pull themselves out and the guys at the top find a way to put a couple pucks in the net, you know, it's just rough because there's so many guys on the team that just don't, you know, they don't score. they don't score. And when you get goals from them, you win. You know, when Kunackle scores, you generally win. If you ever, on the off chance that you get a full moon and Michael Dalcole scores a goal, you know, things like that happen and the Islanders win when those guys do score. But, man, we know it's been a topic and they just need a little bit more. And I don't know what it's going to take for it to finally happen. And that's the thing. I just don't know what it's going to take. Trade market's been status quo. Things have kind of been the same. There hasn't been a lot of movement on that front in terms of who's going to be available. You know, there just isn't big ticket items out there right now. There just isn't. There's not impact guys that will change the fortunes of this team or really any team right now. There's guys, there's mid-tier moves. But the way the Islanders are going right now, mid-tier moves would help. Tyler Toffoli's would help. You know, we talked about Pageau till our ears are going to fall off. So we know that Pageau would help as well. But it's just, it's hard being in that status quo. And as, well, the main focus of our show last week was how it, you know, the burden gets softened when you want to bang your head against the wall because they do still win games. And as long as they're winning games, you know, it's harder to bang your head. But I do think it's going to take something that nobody wants to see, which is a little bit of a really bad losing dry spell for them to maybe finally, you know, get risky. You know, get risky. I think right now Lou is just very steady-handed and just letting things happen. I just think that that's the way that it's going right now, and that's the way that he's going to operate. You don't want to see him lose a couple games or a 5-out-of-6 stretch, but it might be the only way you get something done. Might be, you know. And is that right? You should be wanting to improve this team every night. They're playing basically 500 hockey for 6 weeks. You got to do something. The results have been there, but the results have not been consistent since that 15-0-2. Results have not been consistent. Win two, lose two, win one, lose two, lose one, win two. Yeah, it's not consistent. So they need to get something that I think will give them the shot in the arm and help them. Rolled the dice last year, and, you know, it kind of worked. Kind of worked. End of March, they started scoring. Penguin series, they scored. Did not work in the Carolina series. It's just going to be hard because we're all going to be talking to each other, and next week we're going to take calls. Last show before the break, of course. We will take calls next week. They'll play the Rangers Tuesday. Wednesday night, we will take calls. So giving everybody a week notice, and I'm sure a lot of the calls I will take next week is this same topic that is just so hard to get away from, but unfortunately does not see any answer in the horizon. When will the Islanders try to upgrade their current roster? I don't see the end in sight right now. So we will see as we tick closer and closer to now the All-Star break and then the trade deadline. Will it be like last year, or will there be a chance to mix it up? Time will tell. It's going to be very interesting, that is for sure. So like we said at the top, big four games here going into the break. I think that 3 out of 4 is imperative to finish strong going in. Doesn't matter which three it is. Huge. The Saturday and Sunday games are bigger than the Thursday and Tuesday games. They are. Even though it's the Rangers, those games are bigger. Those are huge games right now. All games are big. Those two games this weekend are going to be very intriguing games as the Islanders face a couple of the teams that they are mixed up with here at the top of the Metro. Two of the better teams in the East that continue to win on a nightly basis that it's just so hard to break through with. So some interesting matchups, two with the local rival, two with two teams that are right in the mix with you for the best in the Metro. Going to be a fun weekend heading into the break, All-Star break. Like I said, next week, calls. You got a week. DM the Isle Seat Podcast account. If you want to get in, we'll take a bunch because we're going to have a little break. We're going to be off for a week. And then before they come back on February 1st against Vancouver, I will do a kind of second half preview, Going to have a guest come by. We're going to do all sorts of stuff before we launch into the second half when the Islanders have that Saturday afternoon game against the Canucks to kind of restart their second half of the NHL season as they start the stretch run. Should be a lot of fun. So calls next week on Isle Seat. Everybody get in. We'll take a bunch. Week after that, preview second half, and away we go. We blast off into the stretch run. The final 2.5 months plus of the National Hockey League season. The race for the playoffs really begins on February 1st against that Vancouver team. We do have live shows coming up. We have the Offside Tavern on February 15th. Please, everybody, get ready, come down, hang out. Last year, the February show was insane. It was a late-night West Coast game. We had a blast. Let's do it again. Islanders are playing Vegas at 10:30. We're going to have the show about 8 right in that area. I've got a bunch of stuff planned for that night. It's going to be a good scene. So get yourself ready. Mark the calendar. Saturday night, February 15th, Offside Tavern, Islanders, Vegas Golden Knights. How about the Vegas Golden Knights firing Gallant today to hire Peter DeBoer? How about that today in the National Hockey League? Man, I mean, geez, the guy's been in charge for 2.5 years. You know, he took you to a Stanley Cup final in the first year of the team's existence. But it's a win-now league. It is a win-at-all-costs league. And the group in Vegas, McPhee, McKinnon, all them, they feel that Peter DeBoer, who, and I'll say this, you know, Peter DeBoer, he goes places. He gets into the final, it seems like, in his first couple years there. Did it in Jersey. Did it in San Jose. I'm stunned that Peter DeBoer got a job with a heated rival, too. I mean, man, you talk about, I mean, these Vegas-San Jose games are always ramped up as it is. And the next time you have DeBoer on the bench for Vegas, next time they play, although they've already played, I feel like, all their games this year. They played a billion times in the first half. More good NHL scheduling for you there. But so anyway, getting back on topic here, Islanders Knights, February 15th, Offside Tavern. Really looking forward to it. Set the calendars now. Be ready. Be there. Have one more. The other live show is in March. I will have a date for you next week. It is almost worked out. It is the makeup with the Blue and Orange Army. We have 2 days that we are looking at. We are going to finalize one of them at a location. That will be late March. So Blue and Orange Army show coming in late March, live ILC podcast and all that. Going to pick out a couple dates, too, to do some live streams, too, like we did a couple weeks ago, or back in OVG, a couple weeks ago at this point. It was Thanksgiving when we did that. We're going to pick some days. We'll do some more live streams. We'll have some more fun with you guys. So I'll see everybody at the Coliseum Thursday night. Isles, Rangers, I'll be by the Orange 10. Come by, say hi. Should be a good time for all. My thanks again to Jay Berman. Great job by him. As always, the sponsors of the ILC podcast, please take care of them. They do an unbelievable job. Oakwood Automation, Bright Building Services, Santorini Restaurant, the Main Street Board Game Cafe, Accurate Precast Corporation. They take care of us. Please take care of them. Get your ILC podcast t-shirts at yesmenoutfitters.com. Devin's got plenty happening there. Those new hats are unbelievable. Go check out those hockey hats that Devin has. Go pick them up. They're definitely worth it. They look outstanding. I'll see you guys next week. It will be a fan show. You guys are calling. We will head into the All-Star break with the fan perspective. So anybody who wants to get in next week for the ILC podcast before the All-Star break, get ready for next Wednesday night and let me know on the ILC podcast DM. Mike Carver, the ILC podcast. I'll see you guys then.